Welcome back. WNST.net, AM 1570 at WNST.net. We're doing Baltimore Positive. We are at Fadley's Market where they don't serve donuts, but Don Mohler is so excited about these. You know what? Before we talk about Fadley's, because we're going to talk to the Divine Fadley, we're going to talk to everybody here, right? And we got Don Fry from the Greater Baltimore Committee, but you have fallen in love with his market again.
I'm totally in love.
He's walking around like sniffing. He's trying to get a sausage on the bathroom.
It's not hard to be that way.
It's amazing. And I want to correct. I misspoke. I called Don Fry the executive director. He's the president and CEO of the Greater Baltimore Committee, so we want to get it right. Nestor, I'm convinced that the whole purpose of these donuts is a test. You know, as a little Catholic boy,
that piece that's missing there,
all
that
Catholic,
nothing to do with that.
All that Catholic guilt, it's just to put in front and tempt me. But no,
you are done.
Right. Before we're going to get back to Don, and we're going to talk
about the great things in Baltimore. Right.
But you were so right. We were here on Friday. There are five markets in Baltimore, part of the great vibrancy of this city. And you are so correct. We were in here on Friday. We're back here today. The way you described it is I have fallen back in love with this market. I just said to you a few minutes ago, I can't wait to bring Linda down here because there is just something, Don, special about where we're sitting and what's going on here.
And that's been the beauty of the markets ever been since 1751 when they first had the first public market here in Baltimore City and Lexington markets in 1782. It becomes a community gathering place.
You just know these numbers, dude. You've been doing this a long time. Give me seriously history. When was this built?
1782.
I want to stop on that for a second.
I was just going to say, think about that.
Just time out.
Give me a little John Meacham moment here.
Hold on here. That's not 1882.
This is the John Eager Howard gave the property for Lexington Market when he came back from the American Revolution.
Now, there's your John Meacham moment. That's what.
You know what I'm trying to think about because the family came over and we got to talking about the 1900s and the differences in the city and all that stuff, and they talked about selling game here. Fadley was founded in the late 1800s here, so the
about 100 years later,
it was already 100 years old came here, and they were talking about game and rabbits and frogs and all this wild stuff that they sold in 1800s. What did this market sell in 1782?
Probably
we're going to ask.
We're going to find out
the owner shortly when we do another episode.
Apples, oranges. I mean, what were
produce?
Yeah,
I'm sure produce.
Grains,
I'm sure
grains.
Yeah.
Hogs. I mean, I think about it. Listen, but think about that. I mean, the historical journey that we're on. 1782, 6 years after the American Revolution. Lexington Market is up and running.
Baltimore's been here all this time, and we can't fix it. Come on,
yeah,
come on.
Absolutely, come on. Absolutely, no. Fixable.
We can fix it. Don.
We're going to fix things. Cities go through difficult times, and then they also.
I was
come
in New
back.
York last week.
So we see it. New York's an example. Others have examples.
I mean, I talked about this with Network because he and I saw Network when Network came out in 1976. That's a theater you would not have want to walked out of.
Probably true
in New York City at that time. And you think about how these Detroits and Clevelands and these reclamation stores, but they really do begin with money, right? And they do begin with confidence, right? Like the confidence of money to be involved in this.
Yeah, and again, as I said earlier, we're seeing more private sector investment than we have in many decades. I think people see the great promise going forward.
Right.
So I think that's sort of a good indication.
We got friends out here. Yeah, we got
some fans here.
Oh, man. U.S. Marine Corps. We got a veteran here.
Oh, you Semper Fi. There you go.
There you go.
Thank
man.
You.
Appreciate your service. Yeah, we're doing a thing here. All right. There we go. Hey, we got people stopping. We're at a market, man. They're serving crab.
Fadley's Market. It's alive.
He came up wanting to know what we were doing. I think he thought you were Ron Matz.
Yeah. But again,
but
Baltimore
these things turn around with capital, though,
and
confidence,
and people seeing things making a turnaround, seeing people making good investments. Again, you look at some of the investments I mentioned earlier, places like the Anthem House and 414 Light Street. You see what happened over at Harbor East, and some of the things that have developed there. People start around the country start saying, people are seeing opportunities in Baltimore, we need to start looking there too. And that's what we need to do is just take advantage of people who are looking here and see that this is a good place to invest money.
Well,
it's not all going to come from Baltimore. We'd love to have people Baltimore investing, but other people from outside really need to see that there's great things happening here.
Well, we had Freeman Hrabowski on last week. His episodes are airing as we speak. And Freeman used this great metaphor where he talked about cities being like gardens. And he said, you have beautiful gardens that you tend to, and from time time to time, you get some weeds. Well, when the weeds appear, you don't walk away from your garden and let it be taken over by the weeds. You come up with a strategy, you fix your garden, and it's beautiful again. And to me, that's the way we need to think about Baltimore City.
Well, I think so, and that's got to come from political leadership, it's got to come from business leadership, and it's got to come from the communities and the neighborhoods that are so instrumental for the success of the city of Baltimore. And I think when everybody gets together and galvanizes and finds an approach that they want to take, you're going to see the city take off.
I think one thing on this journey for me is every time I've seen a building go up, or the Barbara Mikulski thing was just eye-opening to me as to they were going to run, you know, 95 through Canton, literally. Yeah. And we've been in so many cities where that's the case. You've driven through New Haven, Connecticut. You've driven through, you've driven through these places where the highway just Richmond.
What was her famous line? If the rats couldn't take Fells Point, if the rats couldn't take it and the British couldn't take it, I sure as hell I'm not going to have the State Highways Administration take it. Senator Mikulski at her best, right?
Absolutely. That's the truth.
But how much you got involved up in Harford County and seeing how smart leadership, thoughtful leadership, good strategy, and not bribery, not scandal, it's the hard work. Anytime a building goes up, there's so much that went into that, you know, from where the money came from to the people that built it to all the zoning, all the things that had to happen, and then what that becomes for the community. Like that building that just came next door to my building downtown, there's a ramen place in there now, and there's things going on, and they have a dream there. Somebody put a lot of money into that and invested in it. Now we're talking about Harbor Place.
Right.
Somebody put a lot of money into that and went upside down in it. Now what do we do with that space? Because it's important space.
Well, let's jump off there. I mean, I think, again, we never go in a straight line, but it's the perfect time to
talk. Well, that's where I live.
Perfect time to talk about Harbor Place.
Let's do it.
You, in your living room, if you look outside, you look at 414 and you look at Harbor Place. I was telling Don off the air before we started, and just like we all have Lexington Market, like we all have great Fadley stories, when my children were young, one of the great experiences that my wife and I and our family participated in all the time was to, on a nice day, get in the car, go down to Harbor Place.
This is the view from my home.
There you go.
Okay?
No.
That's where I live.
Show the camera.
This is where I wake up.
Everybody knows that
you know, they follow me. I put sunrise pictures up and talk about it being the most beautiful city in the world. And I'm not a guy without a passport, okay?
Yeah, no.
I've walked through the harbor at Sydney. I've walked through London. I've walked through Paris. I've walked through Tokyo. I've walked through Rio de Janeiro. I've walked through Buenos Aires. I've been all over the world.
I couldn't wait when my in-laws or friends from out of town came to Baltimore. And we would build in. I can promise you that the Saturday adventure, if they were coming for a weekend, we'd say Saturday we're going to spend it at the Inner Harbor. And their jaws would drop at Harbor Place. So now, Don, give us a little history of how we've ended up where we are. And I realize that GBC may not have taken a formal position, so I don't want to push you there. But big picture, what does Don Fry see us doing forward, going forward with Harbor Place?
Well, with the Inner Harbor and Harbor Place in particular, it has certainly been the economic and cultural center for Baltimore City for many, many years, and it's certainly been our jewel for many. In fact, I was quoted as saying it's our international calling card because
I've been to Sydney Harbor and I've been to Baltimore's Harbor. And
there's a lot.
Ours is okay. You know, we got a hill, we got beautiful things, we got boats,
A lot of cities have taken their look, came to Baltimore, and then used that as a model of which to go back and take to work off of their harbor and their waterfront to build something comparable to that. And there's actually a publication known as Harbor Cities or Harbor Ports, and shows actually all the different places that someone came after Baltimore. But Harbor Place had a unique place. It was a place that people would want to come from the city, from the region, and bring people in from out of the country, and then also internationally. Would come, they'd always hear about Harbor. We need to find a way to get it back to that state. Now, what happened is that when the Rouse Company sold out and sold it to General Growth, General Growth put some money into it, but they were more of a mall type of a company. It's not a mall. It's not a mall.
What is it? I guess that's what we're trying to figure out. What is it? I don't know how to classify it.
It's a festival market type place, not uncommon to what we are here.
I live across the street from there. My wife and I literally looked out the window because I knew you were coming on today, and I didn't know you well, right? And I love doing this in this forum because this is, if you and I were out having a beer, this is what I want to talk about, like what's really going on and why wouldn't that relate to, you know. So we looked out the window and I looked down there and I said, look, my whole life's invested in this condo that I'm upside down on now, and that's my neighborhood, and I love the little park there and all that. what would we want it to be? What would make it the best to sell my condo, to make it more attractive, that when people came to our house, they would say, we got to go there. I got to go there.
Well,
and it's not Ripley's Believe It or Not. It's not a Bubba Gump.
There was a lot of debate back at that time of, should it just be open space around the Inner Harbor, or should it be some combination of mixed use and open
space? Governor Schaefer fought a war on that, right?
And the GBC was very active in a referendum that went to the voters, and the voters did finally approve for some sort of a mixed use. Now, about 20, it's dedicated in the referendum that 20-25% of the land has to be open space. So that's where you see the West Shore Park. That's why you see Rash Field. Those areas are open. You see a little area
outside
the aquarium.
Give me that number again. What percentage?
It's like 20-25%.
It's got to be. Number. Okay. My wife's going to listen to this one. She loves all this.
It's got to be open space. So that's why you don't see major structures on any of those areas. So you don't see it from the visitor center to the science center. That will never have a major structure on that West Shore
Park. It is like a park that is to be used for the people.
Just general public to come down and for the people.
And it's interesting to me, Don, and you all will be an important voice in this, but one of the exciting things to me in you take a challenge and you turn it into an opportunity. So you read in the paper one day, Harbor Place is in receivership. But then within 24 to 48 hours, and it doesn't mean we have to agree with all of the ideas, but you've got, you know, Dan, we talk about Dan Rodericks and the stuff he's writing.
Dan's doing the best work.
I told Dan he's doing the best work of his life. He's got, you don't have to agree with every one of his ideas, but Dan is thinking deeply and passionately about Baltimore. You've got the mayor. I was really excited. And again, we don't talk about, when you talk about the next mayoral election, we don't talk about the horse race, but we talk about attributes that we want to see in a mayor. And the mayor, and we'll talk about some of his proposals, at least wasn't silent. The mayor stepped up and said, here's what I see. And it's funny, you mentioned festivals and marketplace. That sort of, when I heard the Mayor Young speak, that's what I hear him saying.
Well, I think that's what the original Harbor Place was like. Right. Not unlike you would have small kiosks, very specialty type stores, novelty type of locations. If you talk to people in the Rouse Company who used to work and manage it there, they would go overseas and find what are some of the attractive type stores that are going on or catching fire over there and bring them back to the Inner Harbor. So that was a uniqueness about the harbor, about Harbor Place, that we didn't necessarily see elsewhere. It's tough to do that. You know, I think now the good news is it is in receivership. I think I've been very disappointed and disheartened with the previous owners. I don't think that they invested in it. I don't think they really took advantage of the opportunities that it presented. I don't think they really had a retail or rental strategy to go out with the right type of businesses in there.
They put nothing in there. No. Yeah. The only thing we use there, sometimes cheesecake, but the Five Guys, the burger. And now I find, and I own a business. I run a business. Right. You know, people were lied to. Things didn't happen. Bathrooms weren't done. Things weren't, you know, all of that. And people then left because we were wondering, like, whenever we were at Five Guys, there was a line and we were people there and whatever, and it's just gone, and now we don't have a place to get a cheeseburger. And I'm thinking, who is thinking about something people want there? You know, it's one thing for a bunch of politicians to sit around and say, well, this will get me elected, or this will make me money. What's going to make me use it? You know, because until people use it or find it functional or attractive, like, the one thing I heard about was this bridge that was going to go across the harbor that would feel a little bit like a gateway arch. Right. That, to me, we talk about friendship and what the value of that word is, or the value of something that would even be symbolic in some way. We need to do something that makes, beyond the aquarium and the science center, which I think are incredible, but more to make it what I think Governor Schaefer had a Disney view of it, you know, like the whole city in a Disney way of, we need families, white people, black people, young people, old people, rich people, poor people, all coming together and having something that would make it attractive here for them to come.
And those have been ideas that the pedestrian bridge is one that the GBC advanced back in 2013 or something like that during our annual meeting. I mean, the concept is, you know, it's tough to get from, let's just take where the Rusty Scupper is, over to where the Pier 5 is.
Sure.
You take a long walk around or a terrible, incredible drive.
This is my neighborhood.
But
I jog there every day.
But
you know?
If you could do a pedestrian bridge across the harbor and connect the two, you're connecting the north and the south side of the harbor in a very easy way, and I think it could be a very iconic type of a thing where you probably, because of the sailing and because of the size ship, ships that we come into the harbor, you'd have to have some sort of a turnstile where the bridge would actually open up.
No one necessarily has any idea how big those boats are.
Yeah.
But see, until you go down there and walk on a Brazilian, you know, or a Dutch.
But even having that, just the fact of knowing that something's coming down and seeing the bridge open up is an event in and of itself to some degree.
Well, they got to stop that cannon, by the way. It's the dumbest idea in the city.
But here's the key to this discussion. These are big ideas. GBC was involved in a big idea. A couple of things that I'm struck by in this discussion about Harbor Place. One, we talk about the region, and GBC certainly involved in Howard County. You're involved in the five counties and Baltimore City. We talked last week, Nestor, and a couple of weeks ago with Damien Ozardi about Meriwether. Meriwether was about to go away.
Yeah.
And then people stepped up. The community got involved. Key leaders, Ken Allman and others, got involved. And said,
40 years ago,
no,
they hated it, right? The community hated it. They were peeing in the pool over at the mall, hated it. Everybody hated it. And then when it's time for it to go,
look at the transformation of Meriwether. If someone would have told you 10 years ago, there would be two tiers at Meriwether, and including club seating on the lawn. You wouldn't have envisioned
and
it.
And how about this? How many times are you going to go down there summer? Two, three times? I'm going to go down two, three times. Gene Parker, I love you. I've always loved you. You know that, right? And I'll say this. I don't know anything that, as a Baltimore City guy, would get me in a car and have me go down 95, get off on 29, go over to 108. You do all of that. I would not be in that neighborhood if it weren't for that, right? So it's going to get us there. And then if a restaurant can capture us, or you fall in love with the park or the community, you want to live there, you want to put your office there, you want to have dinner there before your show, it's an attraction. It gives you a reason to go.
And that might be what happens with Harbor Place. I mean, it's into receivership now. So there's a trustee, an attorney, who's representing and protecting the interests of the people who own the debt. At some point in time, it may be sold. Who knows what's going to happen? But I think this is an opportunity for the business community. We're going to put together a steering committee of a number of different people to come up with to have some relationship with the trustee so we can talk about what we'd like to see happen, what type of person we'd like to see take over if that were to happen, and if he has to sell the property, they end up selling it. But this is an opportunity to almost remake it possibly, like you're talking about Meriwether. You know, what was built back in the early 80s may not be exactly what people want today. So we need to do some examination of what does
make
sense.
That's where Malia comes in.
That is where
I'm doing enough radio with you. I can read your mind.
He looks over because he knows what I'm going to say. The great thing here, Don, are these themes that are developing. Malia Cromer from Goucher, the state guru and really one of the national gurus of polling, was really adamant, and maybe you can talk about the role that the GBC plays in her idea. She was adamant that whoever the next mayor is and whatever groups involved in tending to this garden, as Freeman would say, get out and get real feedback and community engagement. Don't assume that a few of us who are in the quote-unquote chattering class know what's better. How do we get out, and how can the GBC facilitate getting that feedback that you're talking about?
Well, again, I think obviously our strength is in the private sector, meaning the businesses, educational institutions, not-for-profits, foundations, those types of entities. But then there's also a huge number. You know, Baltimore is known as the city of neighborhoods. We need to get to the neighborhoods and find out, because that's one of the big challenges that some people think the Inner Harbor is not for the city. No, the Inner Harbor is for the city. Right. It is for the city residents. That's what really was intended. You talked to the good fortune of working with Walter Sondheim before his passing, Walter being an incredible civic leader in Baltimore, and he will tell you the thing that frustrated him most throughout his career was that there always seemed to be that push and pull between downtown and the neighborhoods, and that's not the way it was intended to be. And that, so somehow we had to find a way to get everybody together to talk about what they would like to see there, what would make sense there, not only for tourists who come here, who we want tourists to come here, but also for people who are in Park Heights, people who are in Northwest Baltimore, South Baltimore, to come to there, that they see that as a place like you saw it when you bring some of your family and friends
to. You know what? This is a weed in the garden.
I was just going to say.
And I live downtown, and I've wondered what becomes of this. And I've wondered this, and now all of a sudden, I get to talk about it. It's a good time to take a break.
Wait a minute, real quick. I want to say to our city leaders.
You want to talk about Fadley's.
No, I do. I want to talk about Fadley's. I want to talk about our other friends at State Fair. there in Catonsville. But I do want to say to city leaders, to business leaders, do me a favor. Do us a favor. Believe in Baltimore Positive. Give Dr. Malia Cromer at Goucher College a call. Sit down with her and get her thoughts on how to engage the community beyond just a small group in a discussion of what is the right thing to do for Harbor Place. We are. We're loving Fadley's. We're going to be back at with our friends at State Fair.
I got fish hanging over my head.
We're going to be back at State Fair in Catonsville. Evan Brown, the owner of State Fair, I want to tell you that Nestor cheated on you today. He had his chicken and waffle someplace else, and you know, he's a chicken and waffle man.
I can lie about it, but it's on the video for him.
Yeah.
Episode,
he loves the chicken and waffles at State Fair.
I got the syrup off my hands.
So get to State Fair in Catonsville. Get down here at Fadley's. We're with the president and CEO of Greater Baltimore Committee, Don Fry. So many issues. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the weeds and how to clean up that garden.
There you go. Great.
But not the cannabis. He's Don Moeller. I'm Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, WNST Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore Positive.